Praise the Lord. We thank God for another opportunity to gather together for this present truth that is now on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are to be able to gather together in your presence once again to study and to examine the Word of God. We bless you, Father, for the mind and the heart that you have given us to not just peruse the scripture, but Lord, to understand what it is that you are enlightening us to. Like the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can we know except someone guide us? So we thank you that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, as you promised, and we will gain an intense understanding for the scripture that we might serve you better. Thank you, precious Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Once again, we're grateful to gather together and to share the Word of God with you. If you have your devices or you still carry a Bible, I would like for us to look in Titus chapter 1, the book of Titus chapter 1. There's something here that has caught my attention that I can't seem to get past as I open this book that I began to study. Titus chapter 1, and I'd like to start at verse 10. Actually, we can start at verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, this is the King James Version, that he may be able by sound doctrine, notice, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. These are individuals that are opposing the gospel and the spread of it. Notice, he's saying, hold fast the faithful word as you have been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, why is sound doctrine so important? Which is one of the primary reasons that I want us to consider that. He says that he may be able by sound doctrine to two things, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Notice the effectiveness of the Word of God as it relates to sound doctrine. To exhort. This is not to just encourage, but this is to correct if necessary. To exhort. An exhortation. And then secondly, to convince the gainsayers. Notice another translation in the Amplified Classic. It says that he must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as he was taught it, so that he may be able both to give stimulating instruction. Notice, stimulating instruction here is exhortation, to exhort, and encouragement in sound, wholesome doctrine, and to refute and convict those who contradict and oppose it, showing the wayward their error. Notice, that means that you have to be astute in truth in order to dismantle the error that he's telling them he needs to do. Now, why does Titus need to do this? Verse 10 tells us why. For there are many disorderly and unruly men who are idle, vain, empty. This is the Amplified Classic. Misleading talkers, self-deceivers, and deceivers of others. This is true especially of those of the circumcision party. Notice, there was a group of so-called believers, Christians, referred to as the circumcision. This was a group of individuals that had a firm belief connected to the Abrahamic covenant, that once a child was circumcised on the eighth day, they became an actual son of Israel, a child of God, if you will, from an Old Testament perspective. Notice, this is true especially of those of the circumcision party who have come over from Judaism. So out of Judaism springs this false teaching about, it's kind of like a Jesus-only type of doctrine that says, if you're not circumcised, then you can't experience the grace of God, basically is what they were saying. Paul was teaching Titus that you have to come at these false teachers a certain way. And he says in verse 11, he says that these of the circumcisions, their mouths must be stopped. Why? Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake or for the sake of money. So what was at stake here, brothers and sisters, as these continued to stumble out of the truth into error by those who were the modern day teachers of the day, deceiving whole households of believers who had given their life to Jesus at some point. Now, all of a sudden, through some false teaching, they off doing some other thing that's totally contrary to what they were brought into in Christ. It's so important to understand that if I say I'm a believer or a Christian, there has to be a standard in my life that can speak louder than words. A life that can speak. A life that can oppose darkness and deceivers. Notice, he says there are many deceivers. In verse 10, he said these people's mouths must be stopped. Many unruly, vain talkers and deceivers. That's what we got today. Vain talkers and deceivers, making it about race. These black Hebrew Israelites making everything about race. It's got nothing to do with race. What color is your spirit? Do you know what color your spirit is? Your spirit don't have a color. So what are you talking about? Jesus Christ came to redeem man in his sinful condition. He can't do anything about his condition right now. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And unless you are born again, my brother, my sister, you too will perish except you repent. This is the message. This is what Titus was preaching and what he was up against. Whole families being deceived. He said, Paul said, they must be stopped. They're subverting whole households. They're teaching things which they ought not for the sake of money. That's how you could tell. That's how you could tell the false teachers today. It's only about what they can get from you. Become a partner. Do this, do that. It's all for money, for filthy lucre's sake. Nobody just teaches the pure, unerated word of God, gospel of Jesus Christ, for free. There's a price tag to everybody now. Men who want to come and share will only come for a certain price. Their expenses have to be paid, their meals, their this, where they stay and everything. Brothers and sisters, this is the day in which we live right now. And he's telling Titus to shut their mouths. How? Through sound doctrine. Notice, he says, you have to teach through sound doctrine, holding fast the faithful word as you've been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine. That's how you're going to make an impact. Not being a novice, not knowing, oh, I gotta ask my leaders, I gotta check with my discipler and all. How come you don't know? How come you can't refute the truth with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you not understand it? Do you know what it is you're sharing with others? Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, not prosperity. No. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Is that what you preach, my brother? Or has that not been working for us as of late? So we gotta leave Jesus and go to something else. Now, we preaching how to enter into the rites of passage and all this other foolishness that has nothing to do with Christ and becoming more like him. So he says, you have to come at them a certain way, these that are of the circumcision. You can't just, you share your testimony. No, it's going to be more than that. Listen, you have to exhort. Listen, he tells him what to do. You have to hold fast the faithful word as you've been taught. You got to be faithful to what you've been taught. Now's not the time to be searching for some new doctrine. No. What word have you been taught? That's what you have to stand on. What have you been taught, my brother, my sister? No wonder is people just giving up and no longer preaching the gospel because they weren't properly taught how to stand. They weren't properly taught how to be rooted in the truth. We just went and started preaching. That's not sufficient for the day in which we live. That may have worked in my day or in our day, but today that won't get it done. That won't convert no young person. That can prove to you and dismantle this little fake Christianity that you got. He says, hold fast the faithful word as you've been taught. And then what else? He says, that you may be able by sound doctrine. Listen, how sound are we in the basic fundamentals of the faith? How is it that these people that are talking about absolutely nothing can gain more attention than us who have the truth? Maybe our presentation of the gospel is not firm to convert the heart or bring conviction to a life. Now we're mixing everything together. Oh, there's many ways to God. Oh, just try this. And if tongues don't work, try chanting. Are you kidding me? This, brothers and sisters, is the day and time in which we live. There are people. There are vain talkers. There are deceivers. There are people that are not teaching the truth. What are you filling your heart with Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday night? What are you listening to? Do you know it's the truth? He says, you have to hold fast the faithful word that you've been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. What kind of gospel do we preach? Can it convince the heart of an unbeliever? Can it convince or convict a life of sin? Brothers and sisters, what are we sharing with people? How to be successful? How to invest their money in the right way? And they can still go to hell. What difference does it make? What accounts they need set up? They need to be redeemed. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm not trying to make millionaires. I'm trying to make disciples of all nations so that the world can understand the redemptive plan of God. That's what this whole thing is about. Anything less than that is not the gospel, is not the truth. Somebody's deceiving you. Some vain talker is deceiving you, my brother, my sister. Listen, let me help you understand something. This is what people are doing. We're trying to present a people to God that are chaste, that haven't been contaminated. I want you to go. We're going to go down to verse 15, but I want you to come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like to read this passage because I intend to come back to it at a later time. I want to highlight verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. My time is leaving me fast, but I just want to point out one thing here that's brought out. Paul's desire for these believers is to present them as a chaste virgin to Christ, uncontaminated by the world system is what he's talking about. You have to go back over this passage. He says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Notice, she was beguiled. Adam disobeyed, but the woman was deceived. Remember this, brothers and sisters. It was through his subtlety. Now he makes the comparison. How through his subtlety, he was able to turn the mind of the woman away from what God had spoken. Notice, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, the exact same way. the way the serpent deceived and beguiled Eve through his subtlety is the same way people's minds are corrupted from the simplicity that's only found in Christ. Those of the circumcision were confusing. There were other groups that were preaching their own doctrines, trying to woo the people of God away from the truth. Even those coming out of Judaism were swept away into these other false teachings. He says, this is what he's after, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, underline that, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, underline that, which ye have not received, or another gospel, notice those three contaminants, another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not of wit behind the very chiefest of apostles. But what he's saying is, that's what I wanted to present you as believers before God. In verse 2, he says, I espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Then he starts examining the things that could contaminate their purity in Christ. Notice, he says, another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. This other Jesus, we have not preached, whom we have not preached. This another spirit, you have not received from us. Or this other gospel, which you have not accepted. But that's what is contaminating the hearts of the people. So you gotta be sound in doctrine. You gotta understand what you're talking about. You can't come half-cocked. These religious leaders, these deceivers will sweep the people of God away. We must be astute, brothers and sisters. We must be aware of another Jesus that can easily be made to sound like somebody in the gospel. Easily, people are deceiving with another Jesus. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to come up speaking in tongues. You got to do this. You got to do that. Jesus only, all this. Another Jesus. It's another Jesus. Not only that, he says, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit. Notice, before another Jesus, he says that they receive that. He says, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel. So what I want you to see is what swept these away, this another Jesus, this another spirit, this another gospel, was what they started listening to, which ye received. Do you see that? You didn't receive it from us, but you started listening to it. You started giving ear. They were drawing the crowds, maybe even performing miracles. And he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. So anything that you haven't heard come from us is not legit. Those are the kind of leaders that we need to have today, brothers and sisters. And if that's just your pastor, I don't know if that's sufficient for you to be built up and made sound in doctrine. There's so many other things that we need to learn in our faith. There are too many things that have gaps that leave people guessing what's going on with God. And we're not astute enough in the scripture to rightly divide the word of truth and give people the answer that they're actually looking for, a Christ that makes sense. Brothers and sisters, I want to close today with this. He says, another Jesus is preached, another spirit is received, and another gospel is heard and received. What is it about the gospel that's not sufficient? How is it that we could be looking elsewhere for something else to preach? What, it's not drawing the crowds? It's not drawing the people? It's not bringing the money? So we got to preach that stuff, huh? I would rather not preach stuff that God don't want and be fake. I'd rather preach the truth and not have people give at all. At least I did what I was supposed to do as a man of God. My brothers and sisters, if you go back to Titus, I want to close because on the next episode, I want to come back and revisit this. In Titus chapter 1, we were talking about how he had to stop the mouths. These were subverting whole houses in verse 11, teaching things which they ought not for money's sake. Then a prophet had said something about them. Cretans are all liars, evil beasts and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Notice what Paul is telling him to do. That they may be sound in the faith. There it is again. First, he says, sound teaching. Now, soundness in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Verse 15 is where I want to come back. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, notice, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. These that are defiled, in context, profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. My warning tonight, my brothers and sisters, is to beware of personal defilements, things that can contaminate your heart and draw you away from the very presence of God itself. Contaminants like false teaching, contaminants like people that are trying to sway you away from the gospel truth, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house will be saved. If you just set on confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's fine. That can bring salvation. But what about a life that goes with that? What about a life that can prove that Christ is definitely dwelling on the inside? What about the hidden mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you bear the character traits? Or was your confession of Christ empty? You came to church and you never came to Christ. I'd like to pray and take a moment for you to consider. Are there personal contaminants, defilements, where you can't seem to hold on to the things of God? They easily slip away. You easily fall away from the truth and then wonder why you seem so distant from God and God from you. Defilements, contaminants. Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to just pray concerning this word. We see here, Lord, that to the pure, all things are pure, but to those that are defiled and unbelieving, Lord, help us. Nothing is pure. These people will even confess that they know you, but in works they deny you openly. Lord, this is the day and age of deception that we live in. There are so many imposters. We almost can't even tell by character traits who is really of the Lord and who isn't. People can just slide into families and lie and have no character traits at all that resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father God, come back to the reality of who Christ is dwelling on the inside of us, so that we might properly represent you and shine forth the very glory that you have given us in Christ. Thank you, precious Lord. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. That's all the time we have on this episode. Join us again next week as we'll be back for another episode of This Present Truth. We're signing off. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. We'll see you next time. God bless you.